Marge, if I remember correctly, you did just text number one, right? Yeah, so we start at two. I don't think three has a purport either, and four. All right. Naram Chaivanarotamam Deving Sarasatim Tatojayamotirya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances to the Mayan. Brian Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the dictator, and our Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Tumash Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attending class and by rendering the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, who is worshipped with transcendental songs, as in Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 15, the glory of the descendants of King Priyavrata. And so we're starting at text 2, and I'll just read myself, and then we're not doing anything responsibly because none of them are on the board anyway. I'll just read. So text 2, Tasmad Vrajang Devata Putro Bhavat. Translation, from Sumati, a son named Devata Jit was born by the womb of his wife named Vritha. Ata suryam tat tanayo devadumnyas tato denu matyam sutak para suvarcha patiha upajataha. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Thereafter, in the womb of Asuri, of a son named Devadumna was begotten. Devadumna begot in the womb of his wife, Denumati, a son named Parameshti, begot a son named Pratiha in the womb of his wife, Suvarchala. Ya akhyaya soyang sangshudo maha purusham anusasma anusasma. King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, not only was he great, the Supreme Person, Lord Vishnu, and directly realized him. Please repeat. King Pratiha propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Person. Realized him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word anusasmara is very not imaginary or concocted. The devotee who is pure and advanced realizes God as he is. Maharaja, and due to his direct realization of Lord Vishnu, he propagated self-realization and became a preacher. He will not be bogus. First of all, realize Lord Vishnu as he is. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, upadam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Quote, one who has seen the truth can impart knowledge. End of quote. Darshi, one who has perfectly realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person can become a guru found by all over the world. The paragon of bona fide preachers and guru is King Pratiha. Krishna Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharisha Srinivarani, Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Jaina Bhutamayam Dadati Sopadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha, Shri Tam Sahagam Tang Sajivam, Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padansa Shivasha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kami, Tata Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Bhavane Vyo Vyasa. Rashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittana Nishi Adwaita Gadadhar Swasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Sri Panchatattva, Tanya, and the Gadadhar, they're standing like this. Why? Just to induce us to dance. By participating, just like you did just now in the Guru Puja Kirtan, this is the perfection of life. It takes some time to realize it. Here, King Pratiha was a bona fide guru because he realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because God is actually our normal consciousness. It's actually our normal state of being. When one is unaware of God, or that means one is ill or getting better. And just as when we have a material disease, it seems to want to get back to the state of wellness, right? Nobody wants to keep a cold forever or a fever forever. No, you want to do something, and if it's not going Ayurveda, anything, just get me well, please. So the beginning of real time is to understand. If somebody's walking around thinking that I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, then where's the impetus to improve, to come back to this realization? So the first thing that the guru points out very clearly is this. You're in this material body, you're not this body. You're falsely attached to this body, thinking that it's you, when it's really not. For being, we're all beings, there is a supreme being. Prabhupada used to point out, just naturally, you're strong, somebody's stronger, but who's strong? That's Krishna, that's God. You're wealthy, somebody's wealthier than you, wealthier, wealth, but who's the wealthiest? That's God. You're all very beautiful, young, but who's the most beautiful? That's Krishna. So any thing that you look at, any attribute, any characteristic, take it to the nth degree, that's God. So God is that person where nobody's more beautiful than him, nobody's stronger than him, nobody's wealthier than him, nobody's more intelligent, any category you look at. So Prabhupada said you can begin to understand God by studying yourself in the beginning, because you're a soul God. You're a minute particle of God. So if you study yourself, your tendencies, your characteristics, your attributes, you begin to understand God. But we have to admit immediately that we are limited. We are limited. Prabhupada used to use some very simple examples. Just like now we're sitting here in Ljubljana. We're not in Zagreb. We're not in Paris. We're not in Rome. We're not in New York. We're localized. We're right here. But intrinsically, anyone who says they believe in God, they understand that God is everywhere. I can pray to God wherever I am. Whether I'm standing on the beach, you say plage, okay. Or I'm on the top of a mountain, Gora, yeah. Wherever I am, I can pray to God, and I immediately understand that God can hear. So hearing indicates senses. You see? The wood is not hearing us, the floor is not hearing us, the wall is not hearing. As soon as you say hearing or seeing, indicates senses. But in the case of God, they're super senses. You can hear from anywhere and everywhere. You can see everywhere and anywhere. That's the difference. We can see, but again, our vision is limited to a certain distance. Our consciousness is limited by the body that we're in. See, if somebody comes here and touches this, they don't feel it. But the consciousness is extended throughout this body. So anywhere you touch on this body, I'm going to feel it. But interestingly enough, even though in every single material body, it's the same jiva. It's not that some jivas are bigger or smaller or small. It's practically cookie cutter. Every jiva is just like any other jiva. Still, the consciousness is limited to the body that you're in. So if you're in a sparrow body, a little bird's body like this, your consciousness is limited to that size. If you're human body, even up to whatever 2.5 meters, whatever the tallest person is, that's the limitation of that person's consciousness. If you inhabit the body of a blue whale, which is 30 meters long, then your consciousness extends that far. So what is, I always wonder, what is the limiting factor? Why doesn't our consciousness keep expanding? Why is it limited to the body that we're in? It can expand depending on the size of the body. But that means there's something that's limiting. So that limiting factor is Krishna. Krishna limited. We cannot limit him, but we can be limited. That's the difference between us and God. Our consciousness can extend from the size of an ant's body or even smaller, or the size of a blue whale. There are entities in this universe that are bigger than a blue whale. You see, as Jesus, our consciousness can be limited. God's consciousness can never be limited. That's the difference. So, being eulogized by Prabhupada as being the ideal preacher, the ideal guru, because he's God. So we're very fortunate to have come in contact with someone of that category, Srila Prabhupada, completely realized of transcendental. What is it we mean when we say transcendental? Transcendental to what? Word used for the pure devotees, uttama. Two syllables, uttama. Ut means above, or darkness. So the spiritual master ideally should be somebody who is uttama, beyond darkness. To dark. Cannot be affected by the six enemies of the living entity in conditioned life. Everybody should know those. Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. These are the six enemies in life. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. These are the six enemies that are constantly burning us. But the guru ideally is uttama, above that. So the pure devotee, the guru, be or she is not supposed to be affected by lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. Again, we're very fortunate to have come in contact with such a personality, Srila Prabhupada, and he has given us through his words. And those who are succeeding him, who have taken up the mantle of, they have to stick to the words that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And so it's a very nice system. We have the by which to see if his followers are actually giving us what he gave us, saying what he said, living like their lives according to. Sometimes, some or other, there's confusion. Although, like I said yesterday, one of Srila Prabhupada is that he presents the philosophy. I was attracted, first of all, by the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And the clarity is parallel. There's no deep, perhaps, or there's no obfuscation. Everything is very clear. So it becomes a little bit bewildering to me when the person who are claiming to be followers of Prabhupada present something other than what Prabhupada presented. You see? Because Prabhupada gave us this clarity. For instance, four principles of freedom to follow. Because, yes, chanting is the goal, the means, everything. There's a nice, and you'll find in the More Songs of the Vaishnavacharya, there's a very nice poem there. To any of the, it's anonymous, but, you know, it begins, Madaram Madarebiopi, Mangalebiopi, Pavanam Pavanebiopi, Harinama Eva Kevalam. This Harinama, holy name of Lord Hari Krishna, is all that there is. That's what this whole poem is convincing of us. Madaram means what? Who knows? Sweet. So of sweet things, Madaram, it is a sweet. Mangalebiopi Mangalam. Mangala. We come to Mangalartika every morning. What does that mean? Auspicious. So auspicious, the most auspicious. Madaram Madarebiopi Mangalebiopi Mangalam. Pavanam Pavanebiopi. What does pavana mean? Pure. Yeah. So all pure things, this is the purest. Higher now I have a cable. So like that. There are a bunch of stanzas. You can look at it and try to learn it. So it's the whole prophet said it has to be chanted with a certain quality. And that quality of chanting is attained by 10 offenses. Right? And in order to even want to desire to avoid those 10 offenses, one has to be living a pure life. It's following principles. On one morning walk, Prabhupada said, anyone who can't follow these four are human. It's not that Prabhupada is being heavy, this is pure Shastra. Ahara nirabhaya maitanam cha samana. Dhamo hitesham adiko vishesha dharmena hina pashabhi samana. So it's eating, sleeping, these things are humans and animals. So what is this thing, distinguishing factor? What is it that makes a human being and not an animal? By dharma. So the line that we're following, it means sanatan dharma. Dharma, varnashram, all of that. That's a package. Part of the sanatan dharma is to live a pure life, to avoid these sinful activities. To avoid sinful activities. One category, no gambling, no intoxication, and the one where people become a little bit confused, no illicit sex. Prabhupada said clearly on this. I have heard that you don't have the Nectar of Instruction yet translated into Slovenian. But most of you read it. So if you're thoroughly in the verse, Vacho Vegam Panasa Krohra Vegam Jiva Vegam Udapatsa Vegam. Etadira Imam Prithivim Sashishya. We're talking about guru here, so this verse is very applicable. Who can become a guru? At least in the preliminary, one has to qualify in this way. One has to control Vacho Vegam, the urge to speak, Manasa Krohra, the man's Krohra Vegam, the pushing of anger. Anger comes from when lust is frustrated, so. When it's still easy, Vacho Vegam, Manasakru, Jiva Vegam, the demands of the tongue, Udara Pasta Vegam, the demands of the belly, can control these urges, is then becomes qualified to accept disciples. May not yet be on the Uttama platform, but at least platform, those urges. So in that, it's a very long purport to that very first verse, so I chose paragraphs that probably the subject of what it means, illicit sex. So Prabhupada says, listen clearly. If you have not read that book, you should read it. And if you have, and read it again, very clear. Prabhupada says, two paragraphs on that one subject. So I'm going to read both of them. Prabhupada says, in a similar way, urges of the sex impulse can be controlled when not used unnecessarily. When not used unnecessarily. The genitals should be used to beget a Krishna conscious child. Otherwise, they should be doubt or... Lack of clarity there should be used to beget a Krishna conscious child, otherwise they be used. The Krishna consciousness movement encourages men, not for the genitals, but for the begetting of Krishna conscious children. So Prabhupada is saying, yes, get married. No problem there. When they are a little grown up, they are sent to our Gurukula school, where they are trained to become fully Krishna devotees. Many such Krishna conscious children are required, and one who is capable of bringing forth Krishna conscious offspring is utilized. Is there anything in this paragraph that's not clear? If there is, no, at the end. I can make it more clear. Then there's another paragraph. Deals with the same subject again. As urges of the genitals are concerned, there are two, proper and improper. Legal sex. So again, there's a distinction. It's not that any sex is okay. There's proper sex and there's and illicit sex. Very clear. Prabhupada is always so clear. That's what attracted me to his teachings. When a man is properly mature, according to the regulations of the Shastras, and use his genitals for begetting nice children. Point. That is legal and religious. Otherwise, he may adopt many artificial means to satisfy genitals, may not use any restraint. In other words, one has to allow oneself to be restrained by indulges in illicit sex life as defined by the Shastras, either by thinking, planning, talking, actually having course, or by satisfying the genitals by artificial means, he is caught in the clutches. Again, very, very clear. These instructions apply not only to householders, but also to those who renounce order of life. So, Prabhupada has made it extremely clear. I don't see where there's any room for this point. So this is our real wealth in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is that we have Srila Prabhupada's clear instructions on how to execute spiritual life. And if we do that, the result is that we will realize how fortunate we are to have this Hare Krishna mantra, and that's all we need. We don't need anything else. Just remain attached to hearing about the mantra, chanting the mantra, inducing others to chant. That's all we need. This is our life. International Society for Consciousness, otherwise known as the Hare Krishna Movement. When I speak in schools, I always ask them, why are we called the Hare Krishna Movement? And most of the time they're scratching their head, even though the mantra is on the board right there. I always put the mantra first. So I said, the answer is on the board, just look. Oh yeah, because you guys are always chanting Hare Krishna. Yes. So people know us as the Hare Krishna people, the Hare Krishna Movement. But again, there has to be a quality to that chanting, and that quality comes from living a pure life by following the Four Eightly Principles and trying to satisfy the order of the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, I'm just executing the order of my spiritual master. I took it as my life and soul. One conversation he said. And if you can do similar, make my desire as your life and soul, then that will be your perfection. So Prabhupada's desire is very, very simple, not complicated. He wants us, first of all, to make our lives perfect by following this process, and then, as far as possible, try to help others to come to the same standard. Okay, we can stop here, leave some time for discussion, if anybody has any questions, comments. Yes, Maharaj. But then you have to go further and find out what that definition of sex within marriage is. Not just make it up yourself. And here, this is where you find it. The answer is very clear of what sex within marriage. We begin in Krishna conscious children, not using unnecessarily, not for sense gratification. Prabhupada said that over and over and over again, consistently. So you can take that one statement, but then you have to look at the meaning of the words in that statement. And if you say, yes, Prabhupada said sex within marriage, what is that sex? He clearly defined elsewhere, so you have to find it. Yeah. That's why it becomes important. I'm glad Maharaj brought this up. It's the entire book of Srila Prabhupada's presentation. Not just take one book or one paragraph or one sentence. One has to read the whole thing. And if you can go to all his lectures and conversations, then it becomes really, really clear what Prabhupada means. Yes. Yeah. Prabhupada established a society. He had wrote seven purposes. Prabhupada was, crossing every T, dotting every I. If you look, when he started his League of Devotees in Jhansi, he wrote down, even down to eating Mangalartik sweets and taking a nap at a certain time. Prabhupada wrote everything. So, giving us extremely clear, consistent instructions on how to become a devotee. Now the point is, do we want to? If we do, then it's very clear. If we don't, then everything becomes money. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness, you're simple, difficult if you're crooked, very complicated if you're crooked. If you're a very straightforward person, it's very easy to follow Srila Prabhupada. But if you're looking for something, then of course, you're going to find them. But what the result is going to be, remains to be seen. Prabhupada used to cite a Bengali proverb, Bhajan Kora, Sadhan Kora, Martya Jangal Hai. In other words, you make your own way if you want to, but the result will be tested at the time of death. You see? I can fool my Krishna consciousness about how you're practicing, and we all look very nice to each other, but ultimately, at the time of death, who are you going to remember? I probably told a story here when in 1996 I gave a class in Zurich about where to die. I'm ready to leave the body. So after the class, when Brahmacharya came up to me, I said, we're being trained to remember Krishna at the time of death. Brahmacharya came to me and he said, Prabhu, I have to tell you a story. Recently, I was in a very bad car accident, and at the point of impact, I did not say Hare Krishna. I can't repeat. It's, fill in the blank, something really. So we will be tested. You may do things your way. You may think you see some loopholes and you don't want to live your life. After all, I'll do it my way. Okay, fine, do it your way. But at the time of death, what are you going to remember? You're going to remember purpose, instruction, and deviation that you became attached to. So if we really want to achieve success, it's Krishna Prema. Prema Pamartha Mahan. This is the goal of everything we're doing. To get back to normal platform. But it's actually normal. That's the normal state of being for living entities in the spiritual world. They're all completely with the Lord. So to get back to that point, if we really want to get there, we have to follow strictly the path that's been chalked out by Srila Prabhupada. And if we do something, then we may have nobody to blame but ourselves if we don't. Yes. Vajra Ghosh Prabhu. In case you don't, he's saying that Prabhupada once said the women should all get married and the men should remain celibate. I mean, even at the height of Vedic culture, that didn't happen. Some men always got married. To compensate, of course, height of Vedic culture, polygamy. So some men were allowed to have more than one wife. But that's strictly forbidden in our society. Prabhupada then wanted to hear ideas from different devotees. But then ultimately he said no. He said, first of all, it's not permitted in society. You can't even maintain one wife. Where is there any question of getting married to more than one? You probably maintain. There's no question of having more than one. So that has been dealt with already. Periodically people bring it up again. Well, but Prabhupada already dealt with polygamy. So, yes, you can have one wife. But again, instructions of getting married for begetting Krishna conscious children, which is a very heavy responsibility. So one should think very carefully before taking it on. Because if you don't do it properly, it becomes a disservice and a disturbance to become a father, mother, and not properly raise a child. So we don't want to be a disturbance in our society and society at large. We want to create or bring into we can't create. The souls are already there. And based on the consciousness of the parents, they will attract a certain soul to the womb. So, yeah. I mean, you talk to senior householders and they can tell you. Maybe one of the children, two 50-round babies, and the third one wasn't, or whatever. But even though one may oneself like is obviously pure devotee in his married life, but it's not necessarily a guarantee that the offspring will be. All you can do is try your best. See, we have to have the right consciousness at the time of procreation and to raise the children as Krishna conscious. And leave the rest up to Krishna. Because again, even pure devotees don't necessarily produce offspring of this. One time one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I've heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed and then he was given Siddhartha. So should we pray like that? Prabhupada said, no, you're not Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You cannot pray for a ray of Vishnu. You're not Bhaktivinoda devotee. But as far as possible, try to enter into family life, into grihastha life. Somehow, early days especially, people thought that this person is having a hard time being a brahmachari. Let's get him married. No! Grihasthas, you have to start with good brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. If you take bad brahmachari, kamacharya, how is he going to be a good grihastha? It's not going to happen. Grihastha is not a dumping place for bad brahmacharis who can't, and then you want to stay married. No, if you dump all the bad brahmacharis into grihastha life, then you're going to have bad grihastha ashram. You're going to have not grihastha. So the natural course is that one becomes trained nicely as a brahmachari, follow strictly, and then the choice, do I want to remain in that ashram, or do I want to go on to the next ashram, the grihastha ashram, which is natural. Like sannyasa movement, I won't say who because I don't want to, embarrass him. Not that it's embarrassing, he told the story himself, but you can find out who it was. Anyway, he said, he asked Prabhupada, do pure devotees get married? Because he was confused. If somebody's a pure devotee, why aren't they, naishtika brahmacharya? So he asked Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada walked a few steps before he answered, and he said, because it's natural. So they kept walking, and he was still confused. So he asked again, why do devotees get married? And Prabhupada took a few more steps and said, because it's natural. And then he asked for a third time, but you're asking to get married. So it's actually natural. It's a natural progression to go from a grihastha life to sannyas. That's the natural progression in the Vedic culture. It's not unnatural. Look at Sri Panchatatra, Lord Chaitanya. Advaita's married man. Shiva's married man. Like that. So there's nothing against marriage. If you look in our Acharya line, then we're married. Thakur, you know, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So marriage is not to becoming a pure. We have to execute each ashram properly to the best of our ability. First brahmachari, then grihastha, then vanaprastha. Then ultimately you're becoming pure and pure and pure. It's not, some people think that you, if you're a nice brahmachari and get married, then your possibility just could go down. But not if it's done properly. If you follow these instructions that Prabhupada gave very clearly on how to execute grihashram, this will continue to improve. It's not that I'm going to be a nice brahmachari, get married, and then, no. Another bad thing, the men want to always blame the wife. Well, she's not following me properly, and no. If you're not a pure, how can you be pure? It's not possible. Not possible. So to the best of both partners' ability, try to follow Srila and make nice gradual progress towards the ultimate goal. Okay? You had a question? More before we... It's not my Srila Prabhupada's. Yeah. It's really, really, really very simple. Every one of us here has a material body, and we know what that material body is made of. Skin, bone, blood, stool, urine. It's not a very nice thing, the material body. And that's why when somebody dies, we don't maintain the body. We bury it, we burn it, we leave it for animals to eat, depending on the culture. The body is actually not a very attractive thing. So when we find ourselves being attracted to bodies, we should know we're not healthy. It's not a healthy attraction. We have each of us a body. We know. We know what it's made of. It's not a nice, it's a bad bargain. So if we find ourselves material bodies, there's something wrong. And we should want to get out of that consciousness. You see? It's as simple as that. What am I attracted to? It's a body. And a body's not a very attractive thing. So, once we realize that, we let that realization sink in, then when we start feeling that attraction, we say, no, I need to get out of this. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopi Vrinda ki jai.